It's all going on now through Sunday the 20th at the DeBar Road Walmart in East Anchorage. Plus, someone's going to win a $1,000 shopping spree just for showing up. Register to win, no purchase necessary. Credit issues? Give us a chance to help revive it. We'll have lenders on site using a quick response approval system. Get there early for Lithia's East Anchorage Mega Sale at the DeBar Road Walmart this weekend only. We're bringing the deals to you. Prices plus tax, title, and license. Prices include $200 dock fee. Vehicle subject to prior sale. Prices valid through 9/21/15.
From the KBYR Weather Center, this is your Anchorage weather with meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Well, the overnight rain tapering to showers this morning, even a little wet snow in the air above 2,000 feet. During the afternoon, the clouds will break for a bit, but it could still shower, the high 49. Partly cloudy tonight, chance for a brief shower or flurry, the low 35. Tomorrow, clouds, some sun, the high 51. From the AM 700 KBYR Weather Center, I'm Kevin Williams.
Firearms Friday on the Michael Duke Show.
Well, you'll probably want the accessory kit. Holster.
Oh, yeah.
Bandolier.
Baby.
Silencer.
Mm-hmm.
Loudener. And this is for shooting down helicopters.
Oh, I don't need anything like that. Yet.
On KBYR, Alaska Talks here.
The Michael Duke Show, AM 700, KBYR, Alaska Talks here. It is Firearms Friday. Your chance to sound off on issues of a 2A nature. We appreciate you being part of it and joining us. Dr. John Lott is the author of the book More Guns Equals Less Crime and so many more. He's also the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's a statistician, and he does a lot of work with numbers, and he does a lot of work debunking things that the gun control crowd kind of throw it at the wall there. They always want to try and make a lot of stuff stick. Today, we talk about an important issue, which is kids and guns. Because, you know, they're capturing the youth. They're always saying it's for the children. But what are the true facts? Dr. John Lott joins us today for the difference between truth and reality and fiction. Good morning, doctor. How you doing?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again.
You too, sir. Appreciate you coming on and joining us. So the truth about kids and guns, what is the reality today as far as statistics with kids and firearms? Are we in more danger, less danger? I mean, is it blood in the streets, or what's the real skinny?
Right. Well, I mean, violent crime has been falling nationally since 1991 for all age groups. But often the thing that captures a lot of people's imagination is this concern about accidental gun deaths in the home involving
right.
children. And people can go to the Centers for Disease Control website, the so-called Wickers Report, which goes and looks at mortality for accidental death. And if you look at the latest numbers that they have for 2013, for children under age 15, there are 63 accidental gun deaths in the United States. And when you're considering that the fact that there's at least 50 million kids of that age group who live in homes where there are guns, I would argue it's pretty hard to think of anything that's as commonly owned in American homes as guns are that has as low of an accidental death rate that's associated with it. For children under age 5, for example, you have about 95 children a year who die in bathtubs. For children under age 5,
right.
you have 36 who die a year in 5-gallon plastic water buckets. But here's the problem, and that is any death is too many from any type of thing. But what we want to try
right.
to do is minimize total death. And so the thing is, when you go and you mandate that people have to go and lock up their guns and make them so that they're not readily accessible, you actually make it so criminals become emboldened to attack people in the home. And they become more successful in terms of the types of crimes that they're going to commit. The fact that would-be victims can go and defend themselves, deter some criminals from attacking. It makes it so that even those criminals who do attack are less likely to be successful. And when you look at the total number of deaths, what academic research has found is that rules that require that people have to lock up their guns actually increase the total number of deaths that are there.
Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it from more of a kind of a financial aspect or a resource aspect. This malinvestment. I mean, if you focus all this energy and fervor and this roar about guns in the home and being, and you're talking about again this very small, statistically small number of deaths, where you have many other things that all that energy could be focused on. I mean, what is with the deception? Why are we you know, investing all this energy and effort into something that, although it is a tragedy, as you said, every death matters. But when you're talking about 50 million, 60 or 40 out of 50 million people, that's you know, hardly a statistical anomaly.
No, that's right. I mean, look, we should focus on what we can do to lower total number of deaths. And, you know, it makes no more sense to say that we should support a law if it could save one life than to say we should oppose the law if it costs one life. And so what you need to do is look at the net effect that these different laws have. And even when you look at these accidental deaths involving kids, you know, it's not, most of these cases aren't a kid getting a hold of a gun and accidentally shooting another kid. The vast majority of these are adult males, usually in their mid to late 20s, who have criminal histories, who have violent criminal histories, who also are very likely to have their driver's license suspended at the time of the attack, who have histories of alcoholism and drug offenses. These are not normal people. And for a large number of them, it's illegal for them to even own a gun. So the notion that somehow requiring that people have to go and lock up guns, for those who are doing a lot of these shootings, who it's illegal for them to own a gun to begin with, the notion that somehow they're the ones who are going to be affected just doesn't seem very credible to me. And the issue it comes down to then is that the people that you're going to get to lock up their guns are the law-abiding households where there's not the risk to begin with.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. They're the ones that they're disproportionately affected by this more than almost anybody else. We're talking with Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and author of the book More Guns Equals Less Crime and several others. You know, and what is the definition as well when you're talking about reporting in children? What is the definition of children? I've seen some of these groups lump into this category children, quote unquote, who are literally in their mid 20s. I mean, you know, what is the definition of children?
Right. Right. Well, look, yeah, a lot of them will include 18, 19, 20 year olds in their definition. And they'll include when they talk about accidents, but then they'll go and look at all types of gun deaths. And the problem is that when you're talking about 18, 19 year olds, 20 year olds, overwhelmingly, you're talking about deaths through gang activity. And so look, gang problems are a significant problem in the country, particularly when you're talking about major urban areas. But that somehow the notion that gun locks are going to be useful in stopping drug gang death is, again, something that just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, bans on guns aren't going to stop drug gangs from getting hold of guns. Look, our government has spent a huge amount of time and effort trying to stop illegal drugs from being able to be sold. We know that that hasn't been particularly successful. These gangs, you know, if right now you and I could click our fingers and cause all illegal drugs to disappear from the United States and all guns to disappear, how long do you think it would take before the illegal drugs start flowing back in? Hour, a couple hours, a few hours? And how long would it take for those gangs to be able to go and get the guns that they use to protect that valuable property? It's not like these gangs can go and call up the police and say, look, can you get our drugs back? This other drug gang stole our drugs here. They have to set up
we need some help.
Right. They set up their own militaries, essentially, in order to protect that extremely valuable property that they have. And so, you know, the notion that somehow gun locks or even a ban on guns is going to stop these drug gangs from getting a hold of weapons to protect their valuable property is simply not a credible notion.
So when we're sitting down and talking around the coffee table about this with our friends and family, I mean, where do we need to be going to get the real deal? Because we're not getting the straight dope from the mainstream media or from television or from movies. You know, again, it seems like it's always the sky is falling and it is, you know, hundreds of children die every day and all this stuff. Where do we need to be going to get the information that we need on this, on this you know, epidemic or supposed epidemic?
People can go to the Centers for Disease Control website, but they can also go to our website at crimeresearch.org. And, you know, we'll have links to various sites that have data that people can go and look at. But, you know, the media really gives people a skewed view of the costs and benefits of guns. Not only, you know, on the one hand, you know, when was the last time you watched the national evening news and heard a story about somebody using a gun to protect themselves, protect somebody else? I mean, once in a while on Fox, you'll see something, but on the other networks, it's like absolutely zero that you see. But on the other hand, you constantly hear about stories where bad things happen with guns. And one of the bad things that you often hear about are accidental gun deaths involving children. I can give you a number of stories, even recently, where young children have used guns to save lives. You know, where an 11-year-old just recently in Illinois was able to go and use a gun to go and protect his young sister from being killed by gang members that had broken into the house. You know, and there are other cases like that. And so, but those types of cases, you know, even in the local media sometimes get negative coverage, but they never get positive coverage of heroic actions of that. And I've talked to a lot of people in the media, and they say, well, you know, they worry that if they give a positive story about that, then that will go and encourage family members to let other children have access to guns, and then they're worried about actual gun deaths. Well, as I say, the rate of actual gun deaths is probably much lower than these people in the media perceive.
Right.
But when you have a bad thing that happens, it gets hundreds of news stories around the country in terms of accidental gun deaths. And so it creates this impression of many more bad things happening than good, even though that's not accurate, what's happening.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't... Yeah, crimeresearch.org. It doesn't fit their narrative. That's the problem. Dr. John Lott, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. We appreciate you being part of the program, as always, sir.
Thank you.
The Michael Duke Show continues. We got more coming up. Don't go anywhere. Back with more right after this.